Man, this week has been a crazy week for our family. In a good way, crazy good, and crazy. Because we signed some papers, we kept going back and forth with these people, trying to work out a deal for our home. And ended up, we came to a place where I said, if she doesn't want it at this, then she doesn't have to take it. Because I prayed about this, and that's where I'm going. I'm not going any lower, I'm not going. And what ended up happening, last Sunday, I think it was, we had an open house. Before we even went into all this stuff with the, we had an open house. We sat in the parking lot before we drove back to Rhode Island, and we prayed, and we said, Lord, if you want us to be on the Cape, if that's where you want our ministry to be, if you want us to faithfully serve you there, we want to be there. And if this Sunday you would provide a buyer that would pay the price that we'd want them to pay, then, Lord, that's going to be clear for us. And you know what happened? Yeah, we got an offer. And not only an offer, we ended up at the price in which we weren't willing to go below. And it's just amazing how God works things out and how it's in His timing. Often it's not in ours, because October 15th is our close date. And if you know anything about school, so we're trying to figure all this out. And you need to pray for our family, because we're in a time of, all right, God, what are you doing here? What are you doing? We don't have a place to go, and October 15th is coming like tomorrow almost. It feels that way. And they're still showing our house. So be praying for us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Father God, it is a blessing and a privilege to communicate your word. And Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, our Lord, our Savior, and our Redeemer. Amen. You know, I usually have a video clip before the message. I didn't want to do a video clip this week because I want us to really think about something significant. And I want you to ask yourself this question, and it's a very important question. Is your soul heavy? Do you have a heavy soul? And some of you are going, what is he talking about? Soul? I don't even really know what a soul is. I don't even know what he's really referring to here. Well, this morning we're talking about the heavy soul. And the heavy soul. And many of us are walking around with heavy souls. I shared something with you last week, and it was this. We are not a body with a soul. And if you can remember this, everybody say this with me. We are a soul with a body. So we're not a body with a soul. We are a soul with a body. This is a temporary thing, and it's going to break down. And for many of us, we know it's breaking down. And God is a God of restoration. So our soul, am I yelling? Whoa. A little excited today, aren't I? Our soul is so critical. And do we have a heavy soul? I remember when we were in ministry in New York, Stacy and I used to like to try to go to the gym together and work out. And she was quite a few months pregnant with Kelsey at the time, and she used to go like to work out anyway. And she was supposed to be spotting me on the decline bench. If you don't know what that is, it goes like this. And I was trying to impress her. I had a lot of weight on there. And back then I was quite a bit more muscular, and I used to lift a lot of weight. And I'm at the incline bench, and I'm lifting the weight. And I'm like, yeah, oh, how she like that one? How she like, oh yeah, I'm busting it up. Trying to impress my already married to my wife, you know? And I end up, I don't know what I did. But I end up meeting with my wife. I mean, my wife gets off the top, because you have to stand up on a It's kind of like a step you get up so you can spot the person. I didn't know it because I wasn't paying attention. I'm just lifting the weight up and pushing. And this was my last one. And my eyes were closed and I was pushing as hard as I could. And I thought she was there. She was talking to somebody over there. And I looked in the mirror because I'm turning red, shaking. And I don't have the weight. And I'm going, oh man. And all of a sudden, boom, the thing drops to my chest. I'm going, and I couldn't flick it over because I had it clamped on. And when you have clamps, you can't just push it. So I had no more energy. I'm like, and I saw a guy over there. I go, I was really embarrassed at the time. And I'm like, I'm not going to ask him. I'm going to keep pushing. And I'm like, hey, buddy, can you help me? This guy had to walk over and pull up the bar. I felt like an idiot. And if you... I don't know if you've ever worked out. Some of you may be a little late, but that's something that was heavy on me physically, all right? Really heavy on me physically, and I was turning red and shaking a little bit. But when I got done, I was like, what am I trying to do here? And Stacy comes over. She said, hey. I'm like, where were you? And she said, oh, I was just talking to such and such. And I'm like, okay, never mind. But... you know, sometimes there's things that are heavy upon us physically and even mentally. What is our soul like? I think a lot of times we can see the physical and we look at the physical, but we don't look at the internal. Does anyone know what God looks at? He looks at the internal. What's our heart like? What are we really searching after? Who's really our God? Who's really our King? Who's really our Lord? We are a soul with a body. Why are you so downcast? Why are you so downcast? Oh! Does it stop there? This is Psalm 42:5, and this is going to be a key passage of Scripture this morning. And if you never read this particular passage of Scripture, I want you to really think about this. A lot of times we don't ask God the tough questions. When if we read the Psalms and we read the Scriptures, there are all sorts of difficult questions that are posed. And people are wrestling with things, and we'll get into it a little later. But Jesus wrestled with some things. It's okay to ask questions. I've actually had people say, we should never question God. And yeah, we shouldn't question God and what he does, but we it's okay to question. He gave us intellect for a reason. It's okay to be a thinking person. It's okay to use the knowledge that God gives us. But we need to seek after God's wisdom and God's knowledge and seek after his understanding. And in all our ways, acknowledge him because he will make our path straight. Because many of us are going down this path that looks like this, and we're going all over the place, and it's all messed up, and our lives are getting messed up, and we're trying to figure out what's going on in our lives. And our souls are all messed up, and they're heavy. We don't even realize it, because we're so focused on pleasures, and so focused on what we can get, and what we can achieve, and what we can do, and what we can... It's all about the me. It's all about the I. And there's books out there that say, you know, how to become the better you. How to become the, you know, the most important part of who you are is not how to become the better you. It's how to become the better you in Christ. And you may disagree completely with that. But when we discover God fully and completely in our lives, there's this abundance. There's this incredible enrichment of our lives that we can never, ever find anywhere else. Why are you so downcast? Why are you so downcast? Oh my what? Oh my soul. Why are you so downcast, oh my soul? We're heavy with hurts. some of us are heavy with hurts. There's this great passage in Lamentations. So the question is, why is it that there are so many people that live with a heaviness of the soul? It's a very important question, because some of us are sitting here and we have heavy souls. But why? Why is it that there are so many people that live with a heaviness of soul? We're heavy with the hurts of the past. There are some of us sitting in here today that have had horrific things happen to us in our past. Maybe someone's abandoned us. Maybe we've discovered that our spouse hasn't been telling the truth, and it's tough and it's hard to wrestle with that. And maybe it's someone has done something to us that was so inappropriate, and we've never told anybody, and it's been hidden, and we can't share it because we're afraid what people will think. Or maybe it's something that you just can't talk about. But maybe it's even something that happened yesterday. Maybe it's something that happened when you were a little kid. We're heavy with hurts from the past. You ever hear, I can forgive, but I'll never forget? Have you heard that expression? Have you? I will say this. Instead of saying that expression, say this. I can forgive, and God will help me learn. He will help me learn from the past. He will help me grow and become all that I can be in Him. Because, yeah, it's hard to forget the past. It's hard to forget the pain. It's hard to forget the hurt. We need to learn from the pain, the hurt, the sorrow. Because God has allowed us to experience emotions and experience pain and hurt and joy and love and passion. And it's okay. It's okay. We are spiritual beings. You may not be worshiping God right now. You may be worshiping yourself. You may be worshiping money. You may be worshiping something else. But we are spiritual beings. We are created to worship. The question is, who are we worshiping? And why is our soul heavy? And why do we have why are we heavy with the past? Look at what it says in Lamentations. Lamentations 3, 19 through 20. I remember my affliction and my wandering. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. The gall. I remember all this stuff. Oh, man, I remember this stuff. And it's hard. It is so stinking hard. I well remember them. And my soul is downcast within me. My soul is downcast within me. I don't know if you knew this was in the Bible. I read an article recently, and it talked about how our generation is the most minorly chronically depressed generation in the history of humanity. I don't know how they pulled this statistic out of the paper and wrote about it, but if you think about it, people are walking around mildly depressed. I want to tell you this. We are in a postmodern generation, meaning that God is no longer in the picture like He was. And if there is a God in the picture, a lot of people have created their own God. And if people are opening the Scriptures, maybe they're reading it and reading what they want, not applying the true life to their lives. Maybe we're not applying the true life to our lives, and maybe the hypocrisy is evident and obvious to so many people, and they look at our lives and they say, why would I ever want to be a follower of Jesus when I see hypocrisy there, there, and there, and there? May we live lives that honor God. We're not going to be perfect. And if someone thinks we're going to be perfect, if you think you're perfect, you better look at yourself clearly and do a spiritual checkup and say, whoa, I better wake up. It's a wake-up call. It's through the grace of God that we're made right. And we're not to be filled with guilt, but we have suffered affliction and wandering. Some of us have wandered far away from God, and some of us have been afflicted, and some of us find ourselves in a situation in which we don't think we're wandering or afflicted, but in reality we are, and the bitterness and the gall, that maybe we still have that towards somebody. Maybe we still resent somebody. Maybe we can't forgive somebody. I'm going to share something from my past, and you may go, whoa, this is crazy. But I'm going to share it anyway. We had foster children in my home when I was a child. My mom and dad thought about being missionaries. They actually went down to North Carolina to train to become missionaries. And some of you know my dad passed when I was 6 years old. But before he died, my mom and dad decided that they were going to have foster children in our home. And they were going to try to pour love and be passionate about helping children that have homes that are afflicted and painful. And their lives, they can remember the affliction and the hurt of the past and the sorrow and the emotions and the tragedy that goes with it. There were some of those kids had such horrible things happen to them. I mean, if I shared them with you, you'd start bawling your eyes out like I did when I heard from my mom in latter years. I share that with you because some of them came from such sexually, physically abusive backgrounds that they were so broken and so ruined. And my mom and dad would pour love into them and try to help them see Jesus and be restored. And my dad died. And we had a couple foster children still in the home. And my mom and dad had already decided that it was going to be the last time that they had foster children because the state kept coming in and pulling the kids back out, abstracting them from the household where they were starting to get back on track and starting to learn and develop skills in academia and all this stuff. My parents poured into them. And they get pulled back into the household where they were abused. And they just got tired of it. Well, there were two boys left in the home. And when my father died, there was one boy that was there. And he began to sexually abuse me as a young boy. And I didn't get it. I didn't know what was going on. I was a young kid. I was trying to understand what was going on. It didn't make much sense. And it was painful. And it was hurtful. But let me tell you something. He ended up leaving our home because they found out what was going on. And I kept that internalized for years and years and years and years. When I was in high school, it broke me because I realized what had happened. I hid it inside. It was a pain, an affliction, a sorrow, an emotion that I just didn't want to deal with. And I kept it in the black hole in my mind and my heart, and it crept back and hit me. And I want to tell you this. I was so emotionally distraught. I couldn't even focus. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't, nothing. And some of you are going to walk out of here today and say, I'm never going back to that place when I tell you this. I was in a psychiatric hospital. And I could not figure out what was going on with me. I'm a young guy trying to figure out, God, what is happening here? I don't understand. And I was following after God. I mean, I was following God. The guys on my soccer, baseball, track team, they knew I was following after God. I went to this school that was a large school, a huge regional school. They knew I followed God. I didn't know what God was doing at the time. I'm like, God, what's going on here? I've been following you. And I find myself in this place. I don't know if you've ever been put in restraints when someone locks you down to a bed. I was so out of my head because I didn't sleep so long that I got bolted down to a bed. I beat people up and I didn't even know it. I was pretty darn strong back then. I knocked people out. I was out of my head. They had me on all sorts of drugs. I got out of there after 4 weeks. I'm going to share this with you too. And this might even scare you more because we don't talk about this stuff in Christian circles. This is taboo. This is something that we don't believe in talking about. I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder. I walked out of that place, diagnosed, hurting, in pain. My friends had excommunicated me. I want to tell you this. I would say I was the most popular guy on campus. I was on varsity everything my sophomore year. I was being scouted by all sorts of colleges. You want to know what ended up happening? Due to that, I could not even, they put me on drugs. I could not function on the soccer field. I got placed on JV. I quit the team. I walked away, and then I went back and talked to the coach, and I went back and played junior varsity. And I was a mess. I was all messed up. They took me off the drugs because I couldn't function. I ended up getting off the drugs. And I started training incredibly hard to get back in shape. It took me to the very end of my junior year before I felt like I was even close to the shape I was in then. By the time you're in your junior year, you typically won't get scholarships your senior year. I ended up getting a scholarship, but before I did, my great-grandmother died. My grandmother died. My godmother died. My godmother was diagnosed with liver cancer, and she hadn't died yet. I ended up relapsing because I hadn't dealt with the problems before. And I went into the hospital again, and I got tied up on a bed again. And I'm like, what is happening with my life? This doesn't make any sense. And I didn't get it. I couldn't understand. I couldn't comprehend. It just didn't make any sense to me. And they didn't put me on lithium this time. They put me on Depakote. I was on Depakote. I need to share this with you. I was on Depakote. And I had prayed extensively. And I had people pray for me. And I don't recommend this unless you talk to people and you seek counsel. God healed me. Some of you are sitting here and you would say this. You would say, God cannot heal mental illness. I am standing here. I have not taken a drug in over 12 years. And I have not taken a drug. God has healed me. And yes, I will tell you, I get blood work and stuff because I'm not saying God is not a God of healing, but I want to make sure for my family's sake that it is true and it is real and God is healer. I want to tell you he is. And I recently had dialogue with some theological friends of mine and they were talking about how some of the gifts has ceased and that healing ceased when the apostles came and when in the book of Acts in chapter 2 when it talks about how in chapter 2 when it talks about when it goes back to the Old Testament and it talks about how the old will speak vision, the old will see dream dreams, the young will see visions, and it talks about all that. That's one of the passages they use to say that the gifts have ceased. I want to tell you this, that God is alive, he is well, and he is moving in power. And I am a mighty work of his healing touch upon my life. And I share this with you because I believe God is doing a work here. I hesitate to share this stuff because I know how Christian circles react in gossip. Did you hear what I said? Christian circles. We are a bunch of hypocrites walking around gossiping. Cut it out. Stop. Talk about how God is amazing and incredible, and how we can glorify in him and how we can honor him and praise him for the most awful, horrible things that happen in our lives. God is a God of restoration and hope, and he can heal through medicine. He can heal through doctors' hands. He can heal through doctors' eyes. He can heal however he wants to heal. But healing power is real, and God is real. And some of you are going to judge me today, and I'm okay with that. You got to do a reality check for yourself, and you got to say, God, why am I judging this man? Why am I condemning him? Because of something I don't understand. I think it's so critical, so important to share things that are taboo. If we don't share the stuff that really matters, then we're not really a faith community. If we don't talk about what real faith is about and what real healing is about, what are we doing here? If we don't talk about this stuff and deal with this stuff, because God, when I was 30 years old, God finally set me free from the abuser. That was so stinking heavy on me. I couldn't get away from it. I was still following God, but I could not get away from it. When I was 30, God said, Colby, you have got to forgive. You have got to forgive. And if you don't forgive, this is going to be carried with you for years and years and years and years and years. And you'll never get rid of it. And some of us are sitting here right now, and there are things that have happened to us. I read an article recently that talked about that I think it was 3 out of 5 women are abused. Is that the right statistic? And most of them don't talk about it. Sexual abuse. There are people sitting right in here, men and women, who have been sexually abused and have never talked about it with anybody. There are people sitting in here that wrestle with mental illness and are scared to death to bring it up because of what could happen in the community of faith. There are people in here who have suffered horrible anguish at the hands of an abusive man or spouse or woman. I've seen cases with women that have abused their husbands. And they won't talk about it. I want to tell you this, and I'm being open and honest with you this morning. We need to be real. We need to be sincere. We need to honor God. And how do we best do that? We connect with one another, but first, before we do that, we connect directly with God. We allow him to work on our heart. We connect with one another. We commune with one another. There's the question again. Why is it that there are so many people that live with a heaviness of the soul? Heavy with trouble in the present. There are some of us that may be dealing with a mortgage that is, it's hard to pay the mortgage. Some of us are dealing with a potential divorce. Some of us are dealing with havoc in our relationships with people. Some of us may be dealing with pain and sorrow and not being able to figure out how we're going to pay our next bill. Some of us may be in a relationship that is a mess. Maybe we're married to a spouse that's not a believer and we're unequally yoked and we don't understand what to do next. Pray. Look at what happened here in Job. But no trouble comes to you and you are discouraged. It strikes you and you are dismayed. Job wrestled through so much and he lost everything. He was completely afflicted. If you've never read the book of Job, I challenge you to do so if you're wrestling with struggle and pain. But now trouble comes to you and you are discouraged. It strikes you and you are dismayed. Turn to God! What? Turn to God. discouraged, it strikes you, and you are dismayed. There are so many of us that right now, there's something going on, and you're thinking about it. I didn't see this coming. I didn't know this was going to happen. There's a third reason. Heavy with anxiety about the future. I'll tell you, during this time, in my life personally, we are putting everything in God's hands. And there has been some anxiety about the future, because to put our house on the market, and you know, there's so many different things I could share with you, but I won't even get into it all. I've shared enough about that stuff. But heavy with anxiety about the future. Some of us are thinking about, what's going to happen here? What's going to happen there? What are we going to do? Oh, man, but that's going to happen then, and this. And we think too much about the future. There's a great passage. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Did you know that God takes care of us even more than the lilies? They're beautiful. They're even more beautiful than King Solomon in all their splendor. And then how about the birds of the air? He feeds them. They don't go without food. And we worry about tomorrow. And some of you are going, you don't know where I am right now. You don't know my financial state. You don't know what I've gone through. You don't know my pain and my sorrow. You're right, I don't. God does. I told you I was going to talk to you about Jesus and how he wrestled. Here it is. This is Mark 14, 33 through 34. He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. He said to them, stay here and keep watch. He is in the Garden of Gethsemane. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch. If you don't know the rest of what happens, he goes away and he comes back and they're sleeping. And then he's like, what are you doing sleeping? I told you to stay watch. And he goes away again. If you don't know, Jesus sweats blood. This is a condition that happens sometimes today when people are under immense stress. Water and blood flow. They can actually sweat blood. It's extreme stress. This is Jesus. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. He is agonizing. He is trying to figure out. And he even says, my Lord, why have you forsaken me? And he before he even says that, he says, Lord, if you can take this cup from me. He's praying to God. Lord, if you can take this cup from me. Take it. There's this heaviness. There's this really, really heavy soul. Because Jesus was God and man. And before he was sacrificed, the ultimate perfect sacrifice. Because in the Jewish sacrificial system, they had to continually sacrifice. And they still do to sacrifice. We have the ultimate sacrifice in Jesus. You're not excited about that? Because that's pretty darn cool. Tell your soul to remember God's faithfulness in the past. Lord, you have been faithful. Lord, I remember. I remember when Stacy had cancer. They thought it was cancer. And they said it was almost 100% cancer. And she had surgery to remove her left tube and her left ovary because they thought it was cancer. And they removed it. And God, we prayed and we had people all over the country and world playing. And God, it wasn't cancer. And Lord, when before that, when Kelsey, Lord, I remember when Kelsey was born, they didn't know what was going to happen. And they had to do emergency C-section because they thought they were going to lose her. And boom, there she is, this big 9-pound, 12-ounce girl standing. Well, not standing. That would be crazy, wouldn't it? The doctor's holding the baby like this, and I see her buns, and I'm like, what is it? Remember, she's 9, 12, and 16 inches. That's like this and this. And if you've never seen a baby like this and this, there's ripples everywhere. And when I saw it, I'm sorry, when I saw it, because I said, I said, what is it? And if I were the doctor, I would have said, what is wrong with you? It's a baby, and it's a girl. But I was like, what is it? And so she said, she's laying on the, because the C-section, they had the blue covering, and the anesthesiologist is looking at me, and I'm watching Stacy's parts all over the place. And you're like, oh, that's so gross, Colby. What are you doing? But I know her from the inside out. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And I see the doctor holding this baby. I had never seen a baby. I had never held a baby. I held a baby once, and I was scared to death. I held it like this. And someone's like, what are you doing? I said, I don't know. Well, why don't you hold the baby right? And I go, okay. And they're like, what are you doing? I said, I don't know. Take it back. And I sit there in the delivery room, and I see this 16-inch, 9-pound, 12-ounce, ripply, big buns. Kelsey, I'm sorry. I know you're not in here. Hallelujah. But, man, when I saw that baby, I was melting, man. What is it? Stacy goes, she's looking up at me. What's wrong? What's wrong? I said, nothing. What is it? And the doctor said, it's a girl. I said, it's a girl. It's a girl. Can I cut that cord? And the doctor said, yeah, come around. And I forgot Stacy was there. I didn't say, are you all right, honey? I was like, baby, wow. And I ran. There's all sorts of blue. The God doctor said, okay, just don't touch anything blue. And I'm so excited. I'm like, okay. And I'm running. He said, stop running. I said, okay, I'll stop. And I start walking. And I get over around all the doctors. There were tons of people in there. And I go to cut. They give me the scissors, and they have the clamps on there. And they say, okay, cut right here. And I go, right here? And they said, right there. And I took those clamps, and I cut them. And I was like, that didn't cut. And they go, you got to do it harder. I said, well, I don't want to hurt her. And I said, just cut it. And I go, koosh. And I cut it, and it cut. And I was like, well, what's going to happen with that? Thank you. So he said, too much info. But let me tell you, that was the most powerful moment of my life. We were sitting there for 28 hours in labor. They injected Stacy with penicillin. And right when the penicillin went in her arm, she started spazzing. We didn't know what happened. And she started freaking out. And the doctors thought she was going to lose the baby. And I'm like, what the heck's going on? I start praying over Stacy. I'm like, Lord, whatever's going on with her, just do what you need to do. And the doctor's like, okay, we got to take her. And we took her, and we went into the emergency room, and they opened her. We have the baby. Look at Kelsey today. God's blessings. Tell your soul to remember God's faithfulness in the past. How often do we actually do that? How often do we reflect on the past and say, oh, God, you are unbelievable. Look at what's happened here and here. Look at the faithfulness of you. Far too frequently, we look at the past and we say, oh, I can't believe that happened. Man, that's unbelievable. This is crazy. Man, I can't deal with that anymore. This is frustrating. Man, why did God have to give me this ailment? Why do I have to have this pain and sorrow in my life? This isn't right. This isn't fair. God, you're not fair. Why does God allow good people to suffer? Why, this isn't right. God has a plan for you and for me. It says in the scriptures, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And you know what happens when we actually believe that? Talk about a revolution. Yeah. There's a revolution that starts to take place in our inner soul, man and woman. And man, should we desire that? Should we desire that? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? And then he started to preach to his soul. He started to preach to his soul. Soul, put your hope in God. Soul, put your hope in God. He's basically saying, quit whining and start trusting and start believing. For I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Whew. We got to tell our souls to remember God's faithfulness in the past. You're gonna be happy today because I edited my message, and it may be long right now, but I edited this thing. I cut it from 12 to 6 this morning. I didn't even sing a hallelujah. Well, I'm getting those pages back. No, but as you know, I don't really use notes. I try to internalize what God's communicating to me. Psalm 142:2 says, I pour out my complaint before God. I love the honesty of that. I pour out my complaint before God. I'm telling him my trouble. I'm telling God my trouble. I'm not holding anything back. And he said this, I cry out to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Listen to my cry, for I am in desperate need. I want to encourage you this morning to cry out to God, to cry out to God. God, I need you. I need your transformation. I need your power. I need your love. I need your purity. I need your holiness. I need your righteousness. I need all of who you are. I need your attributes, Lord, in order to be the man or the woman that can truly follow after your heart. Cry out to God in the present, in the now. Cry out to God. We've got to cry out to God. We've got to cry out to him. 2 Chronicles 32:2 through 8. Hezekiah is wrestling through all sorts of stuff when he pens this, when he shares this. Be strong and courageous. He's telling God's people, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria and the vast army with him. They were afraid there was going to be an army that would overtake them, and the army was enormous compared to their army. For there is greater power. For there is greater power. Are you ready for this? There is greater power. I'm going to show you it. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria and the vast army with him. For there is greater power with us than with him. Did you hear that? There is greater power with us than with him. Let me. Greater power with him is only the arm of flesh. But with us is the Lord our God. If you are a follower of Jesus, if you have embraced Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and God and Redeemer of your life, this day, as you sit here, you can cry out this, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. He's going to fight our battles. Praise God, right? He's going to fight our battles. And the people gained confidence from what Hezekiah, the king of Judah, said. God can use what we say to people. You may say, I'm nobody special. I'm going to tell you, I'm nobody special. God can use me despite myself. May I decrease and he increase. May I decrease and he increase. We should pray that. Help us to fight our battles. What is your battle? Why is your soul heavy? Have you turned it over to God? Have you said, God, I just can't do it. I just can't do it. I don't know, God. I don't know, God. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? I don't know if I can handle this anymore. I don't know if I can deal with this anymore. And then we start panicking, and we start freaking out, and we start, getting all anxious. The battle is already won. Christ has claimed victory due to his death on the cross, which is the perfect sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins. But it doesn't stop there. He was pierced for our transgressions. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and it's by his wounds that we are healed. We are healed and restored and redeemed by Christ. It doesn't stop there. He rose from the grave to conquer death so we don't have to face death. Some of us are sitting here unsure of our eternal state, of our souls. We don't know what's going to happen with our souls. And we are in wrestling mode. We are trying to figure out what is happening with us. And we're confused. Maybe God brought you here today to discover the power of a transformed life and a transformed soul. And what does that look like for you? Ultimately, it will be beautiful. I'm not going to say it's going to be easy, but there's great beauty in following after God. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior and your God, I'm going to pray this prayer. And if you desire to embrace Jesus as your Lord and your Savior and your God, because your soul's heavy and you just can't deal with this anymore, pray this prayer with me to yourself. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I'm kind of confused right now because there's something going on with me, Lord. But Father, I come to you this day. And I do believe that you have died on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins. That your blood was shed for me to purify me. And to cleanse me. Lord, I have a lot of junk in my past. I have a lot of sin issues. But Father, I ask that you forgive me. That you set me free. That I may discover life and life abundantly. Father, I believe that Jesus has risen from the grave to conquer death so I don't have to face it. And Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit will allow me to understand and comprehend the deep spiritual truths in your scriptures. Father, renew and revitalize my mind. Allow me to be someone that discovers your wisdom, your grace, your love, your hope. Lord, allow me to be a faith-filled follower of the way. If you prayed to receive Christ, I ask that you just throw your hand up for a second. Amen. Amen. I'm going to pray for you. Lord God, Lord, I pray for those that just raised their hands, Lord. I ask, God, that you will do a mighty work, that your Spirit will fall upon them in power, God, that they will discover what it means to be refined and restored and revitalized in you, oh God. And Lord, I ask that you will cleanse us and allow us to discover the power of the cleansing and renewing and revitalization of our souls. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you have discovered Jesus for the first time today, I want to share this. That God is going to move in your lives like you've never experienced before. If you faithfully follow him. Some of you are doing this 21-day fast that we're doing right now. We're doing the Daniel fast. And it's challenging. Yet during this time, this process, be faithful, be committed. God's going to grow you up and strengthen you. Yes, God.